Hebrews chapter number 11. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that so much. I was preaching 2 weeks ago in Michigan, and as I was walking into the church, I hit a patch of ice. And I felt when you fall on ice, it's not a slow fall, it's a slam dunk. And I'm telling you what, I was hurting, and I went into the preacher. You know, when you fall, the first thing you do is get up and start lying. And you say, oh, I'm all right. You're trying to look around and see if anybody saw you fall first. And then, you know, trying to act like everything's fine. But I was hurting. And I was literally fighting back the tears in the preacher's office because I was hurting so bad. And I said, Lord, I'm here. And it was snow everywhere. They had a huge storm. You couldn't see where we fell on. And it was so funny because when they were trying to get me up, because of multiple sclerosis, my legs are weak anyway. But we looked like Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. They were spinning their wheels. And I finally said, fellas, just drag me over to a dry spot, and then we'll try this again. But it was a blessing. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm here to lift up your name. And I refused to let the devil stop me. And the Lord got in that service. And I'm telling you what, one of the best services I've ever been in. When the invitation came, the altars were filled. And God just blessed unbelievably. And backed up in the aisles. It was just a wonderful blessing. And I give him the credit and the glory. I appreciate that so much. Now, Pastor, where are you from? You moved here from Indiana. So are you a Yankee? If you'll repeat after me, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And the best I know how. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. All right. Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness he was righteous. Now, I love this. Go down to verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Every day of my life, and I have for several years, I quote Hebrews 11 every day. And all 40 verses I quote every day of my life, and I have. It's the chapter in the Bible that bothers me the most because it convicts me the most. The Bible says you can't please God without faith. Now, I'm going to share some things with you about that. Now, I'm going to say this. I've been at the same church now. I'm in my 40th year. I was 10 years as youth director, 2 years as the associate, and now 28 years as the pastor. And I've been there a long time. I've seen a lot of things. I will say this to you. Your church will be known more for what it does for missions than anything I know of. When you're, see, the Bible says that Jesus, he said, husband, love your wives. Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So we need to love the church, and the church's job is to get the gospel out to everybody we can. Now, I'm going to speak to you now this subject. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. I'm telling you what, that the most powerful person in this building is the one that can believe God for the most. I don't know who that is. Could be a child. It could be an adult. I have no idea. I know it's not me, but I know there's some people in here that, you know, and I love children praying for me because they're not old enough for us to tell them that God can't do it. So I believe that God can, and let's just go forward with God. Now, let's pray together. Lord, I pray you'll bless us and help us meet our needs. Watch over me and help me tonight. I pray that David McCoy might get out of the way, and I pray you'd bless us and help us. I'll thank you for all you do. I pray for these missionaries. I pray for this church. I pray for Brother Hahn. What a great man of God. And I pray you'll bless them and help them. And Lord, I pray that you'll just bless and help in everything that's said and done. May we bring honor and glory to you. I pray this church will be known as a great missions church all over this world. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. 247 times the word faith is mentioned in the Bible. Only twice in the Old Testament. So 245 times in the New Testament it's mentioned. This is the most concentrated effort of faith that we have in the Bible. Because in chapter 11 it's mentioned 24 times. 24 times the word faith is mentioned. Now, faith is a victory. When we learn to live like that, Dr. Adrian Rogers, that pastored the Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee for years before he went to heaven, he had a membership of over 10,000. And he said, somebody asked him one time before he died, they said, Dr. Rogers, and most preachers have some things that he's preached, or he was a tremendous man of God, tremendous preacher. But they asked him, he said, Dr. Rogers, if you could do things differently, what would you do? Dr. Adrian Rogers said, I wish I had taken more risk. How does a man that have 10,000 in his church say that. I wish I'd taken more risk. Dr. Lee Robertson, he's Clarence Sexton's mentor and hero, and he stayed with him and stayed right by his side many times. Dr. Sexton told me this, that Dr. Lee Robertson, let me back up. In the heyday of Highland Park Baptist Church, they had over 12,000 members. They had satellite churches everywhere. Some of you went to that church or that college back then. There was 6,000 strong in the zenith of that school of Tennessee Temple University. They supported 700 missionaries a month. Wow. They supported missionaries everywhere. They had Camp Joy that they had kids come to camp. Unbelievable ministry. Myself personally, in my 40 years of being in the ministry, I don't know of any one man that's had more influence on preachers and missionaries than Dr. Lee Robertson. Dr. Sexton told me, he said, before Lee Robertson died, he said, I asked him, he said, Doc, if you could do it all over again, what would you do differently? Dr. Lee Robertson said, I wish I'd had more faith. How do you... You got 12,000 members. Who wants more faith? Some of us want to get rid of the ones we got. 12,000 people. And God was blessing him. God was using him because of his faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. How do you get this kind of faith? I think there are three ways to get faith. This is all an introduction. But number one, you get faith from God. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God gave you the faith to believe an unbelievable story. When I was saved at 7 years old, I had no idea what it meant to be virgin born. I had no idea about all the sin things, but I knew I was a sinner. I knew I needed to be saved. And as a 7-year-old boy, God blessed me so much and that He gave me the faith to trust Him. Now, during this time, the Bible says, add to your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. It says, add to it. So it needs to be a growing faith. So you get faith from God. Secondly, you get faith from the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So the more you get in this book, the more it's going to build your faith. This week, as the preacher said, you'll have faith, promise, commitment cards, and maybe you'll do it later on the week or something. I'm not sure. But God's going to challenge you. I tell you to accept the challenge. But I want you to think about this. Real faith in your life, you got to have it. How do I get it? I'd like to have faith like that. I'd like to have faith like Adrian Rogers. I'd like to have faith like Lee Robertson. Well, you get it from God, and you get it from the Word of God. Thirdly, you get it from the man of God. Hebrews 13:7 says, it tells us, in fact, I want you to turn and look so you'll see exactly what I'm saying. So you won't know that I'm just throwing it out there. But look at, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 13 and look at verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. That's talking about the pastor. Remember them who have the rule over you. Fellas, not talking about your wife. It says, who has spoken the word of God. And notice the next phrase, whose faith follow. That means you don't need to say, oh no, here we go again. The preacher wants to build. The preacher wants to do this. Preacher wants to do that. He's going to expand. He's going to do that. No, you don't need to do like that. You need to say, Lord, pour it on him. And you need to literally catch the same spirit he's got. So how do I get this kind of faith? I get it from God. I get it from the Word of God. And I get it from the man of God. Now, listen to me very carefully because this is the stem of what I'll preach for the next 3 days. Listen very carefully. And you know how God brought it all to work here for me to be in this place? That was all a divine of God. Just God ordered it. And so I'm here to give you a message that God had for me to give. Now, listen to me very carefully. There are three rules of faith. If you can lock onto these, it will change your life. It has mine. And in the ministry, I've got people. I'm at 62 years old, and being in the same church for 40 years, I've stepped out by faith and leading my people. And some of them are looking at me like, "Man, what are you doing?" And I told them, "I have no idea." I've stepped out bigger and more than I've ever done, but I'm expecting God to do something great. I'm excited about it, and I want people to get excited with me. The three rules of faith, if you'll mark this down, it will change your life. Number one, Faith is not logical. You can't figure it out. Now think with me. The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We've got to walk by faith. Faith is not logical. You can't figure it out. I want to give this much in faith promise. Okay, good. Well, it doesn't fit in my budget. It never does. But that's where God steps in. But faith, if you're trying to get it all figured out, you're wasting your time. Faith is not logical. Think about the text, the scripture in Hebrews chapter 11. He told Noah, he said, Noah, why don't you build a boat? He said, I'll be glad to, Lord. What's a boat? Well, I'm going to send the rain. Well, what's rain? And he said, and he's going to build a boat the size of a football field and huge. And you think about, and see, we always talk about how they put on the animals on the ark 2 by 2. Those were the unclean animals. The clean animals were 7 by 7. Now, they laughed at him. By the way, he was in a building program for 120 years. When he got through, he got away from God and got drunk. I don't find fault with him. I think anybody's been in a building program. No, never mind. But I'm telling you what, now listen to me very carefully. The whole story of Noah is crazy. I've often wondered this. They put all those animals on the ark. Did they have woodpeckers on the ark? I'm just trying to get wrap my mind around that. I don't know where they put those. But God did a great thing. That's not logical. In a place where it's never rained, no, doesn't know anything about it, and God said, all right, make this boat and make this, and I want you to get the animals on there. And can you imagine the people laughing at him? Noah, what are you doing? Well, I'm building a boat. What is a boat? Where are you going? I'm going to load up all the animals. And you're going to do what? That makes no sense. You and I would have been right there with him saying, those folks saying, you lost your mind. That's crazy. Faith is not logical. Quit trying to figure it out. Trust God. Now, faith is not logical. Think about Abraham. Abraham? Yes, sir. I want you to come and go with me. And the Bible says he's looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Now, he went home and told his wife. Now, fellas, how much would your wife go along with this? She said, hon, come on. Now, remember, he's a rich man. He has cattle, silver, and gold. He was the man of the day. And by the way, he's the only man in the Bible that God said was his friend. And God had many friends, but Abraham is the only one that he said, he's my friend. Now, listen to me. Not logical. Sarah, come on, go with me. Where are we going? I don't know. When are we coming back? I don't know. I don't know when we will. Well, where are we going? We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Wow. Some of you men know good and well. Your wife say, have a good trip. Now, faith is not logical. You can't figure it out. You don't know. You know, when Noah built the ark, God told him everything about it, what to do. He said, don't you build it out of gopher wood? What does that mean? That means he told his son, go get me some wood. What kind do you want me to get, Daddy? I don't care, just gopher wood. I love that. I thought of that myself. Gopher wood. Now listen to me. Faith is not logical. There are going to be some people that will say, you go to what church? Your own family. There's going to be people in your family. Oh, you go to that church. You know what? Faith is not logical. You can't figure it out. There's no way. Years ago, now listen to this very carefully. I'm going to try to get through it quickly. When I was in college, a buddy of mine, we were going down to his church to work. I had a car, he had a car. He was at First Baptist Church in Hollywood, Florida, where Verl Ackerman was the pastor. I don't even know if Dr. Ackerman is still alive. It was one of the 10 fastest growing Sunday schools in America. And he was there, and we were going down to on spring break, going down to his area. Now, spring break back then, 40 years ago, 45 years ago, was not like it is now. And we were going down there to pass out tracts and work. And so I got in my car, had my own car, a 1969 Opel Cadet station wagon with a 1.9 liter S engine. That's one step above your feet going to the floorboard, like the Flintstones and pedaling that thing. But it was mine, it was paid for. He loaded up his car, and he got in his car, and a buddy of mine, we got in my car, and we're headed down there to spend our week working and passing out tracts and helping their church. We turned on something called the Florida Turnpike. Now, I don't know, you probably know where it is now, but I'm telling you, 45 years ago, it didn't have anything. In fact, we didn't even see other cars on it. It was unbelievable. I mean, he was in the middle of nowhere. Nobody had anything. It was just unbelievable what was going on. We got going at about 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning. All of a sudden, heard a loud pop in my car. The temperature gauge went up. Smoke started boiling out. I flashed my lights to my buddy. He pulled over and backed up the interstate to me. Nobody was coming. He said, "What's it?" And then we got three college guys walking around, picked up the hood, boiling smoke. We're looking at, tugging on our britches. And I said, "You know, I think the distributor cap caused the retread on the back right tire to turn over and get this thing's caused the battery cable to mess up." That's what's. Then all of a sudden we look and see a fan belt laying on top of the breather. We said, "There's what the problem is." And my buddy said, "Well, I've heard you can take a pair of ladies' pantyhose and you can make a makeshift belt with it." I said, "Well, that's good. I left mine in the dorm. Can we borrow yours?" And I said, "Maybe if somebody's come by, we can stop them and hope they got some strong ones." He said, "I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to go." Now, nobody had cell phones back there or anything like that. And he said, "Well, I'll go call my dad." He left, and the next exit was 26 miles away. He took off to go get to call his dad. My buddy and I, it's about 2 o'clock in the morning now. We got over in the weeds. I had a guitar. We were playing the guitar and singing. Finally, I said, "You know something we hadn't done? We hadn't prayed." He said, "That's right, we hadn't prayed." So I got on my knees, and we're facing a canal. Now, you got to watch it, because in that canal are lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. I mean, they're right there. There's alligators. We're just watching that thing. I think that's where my mother-in-law came from. So we're watching that, and we're looking at, we're having prayer. And this, God knows I'm telling the truth. I'm telling you, as I'm praying, a Georgia State Trooper pulled up behind us. We didn't know it. And I'm praying, asking God to do something. All of a sudden, the boy, he got on his megaphone and said, "Hey, boys, you need any help?" My buddy said, "Oh, God, we need you. Yes, I knew you were real." He started confessing things that like you wouldn't believe. Now, let me tell you, and finally I looked and I hit him. I said, "Look there." He said, "Oh, I knew that." I said, "No, you did not." Now, listen to me. About an hour later, my buddy showed up and he said, "My daddy said he's going to come help us," or whatever. That was several hours away. About 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, his daddy went down the interstate. He flashed his lights. He pulled over, crossed over the median in the grass, pulled over. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, he got out of his car carrying a fan belt for a 1969 Opel Cadet station wagon, 1.9 liter S engine. I said, "How in the world did you get that?" And this is what he said. He said, He said at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, he said, "I called the parts place where a friend of mine works." He said, "The phone rang a half a time," and I said, "What?" He said, "Bill, this is so-and-so." And he, "Yeah, what do you need?" He said, "Well, I need a fan belt for a 1969 Opel Cadet station wagon." He said, "Well, let me see." And he said, "Come down, I got one." And he went down. When he got down there, there were police cars and lights going, blue lights going everywhere, fire trucks. And he got down there and he said, "What is it?" He said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, the alarm went off that somebody had broken in. We got down here. There's no evidence of break-in." He said, "We think a rat went by in this warehouse." And, you know, and hey, from Georgia, I'm telling you, that's easy for me to believe. We got some big rats in Georgia. I mean, you hear our rats, you hear them saying, "Here, kitty, kitty, kitty." And I believe with all my heart that God triggered that alarm. So three boys on the side of the road. Now to this day, I've got so much confidence in God because something that was totally, there was no logic to it whatsoever, God reached down and did it. Now, passed by about 30 years or so. About 10 years ago, I was coming home from a meeting. I pulled into a parts place. My wife said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'll be out back in a second." I went in and this lady had a computer and she said, "What can I help you with?" I said, "I need a fan belt for a 1969 Opel Cadet station wagon, 1.9 liter S engine." She started laughing at me. She said, "You're kidding." I said, "No." She said, "Well," I said, "just check." She checked. She said, "I can't believe it. I've got one." I said, "Good. That's what I wanted." And I bought that fan belt, and I have had that thing for years. When I'd have my prayer time, I'd wrap it around my neck. And I just hope it reminded me what God could do. Amen. Now, but some of the people, they think, "Oh, that's not," it was a big deal to me. My wife took that thing, I didn't know it, and had it framed and put a map of that area with a red dot where that Florida Turnpike was, and it hangs in my office right now. And every time I go by, I think, man, God can do something great. Faith is not logical. Number two, faith is not comfortable. Remember the verse I quoted or I said earlier? These all died in faith. When you look later in the chapter, it says that women were tortured. All kind of things that happened to them, that they were tortured. They had all kind of problems, things that took place. And God, in the middle of all that, just did something. Look, if you would, at verse number 34. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, more of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted. They were slain with, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Everything I just read doesn't sound comfortable. These are people that live by faith. Faith is not logical. Faith is not comfortable. My dad, at 55 years old, cashed in everything he had, went to Clemson, South Carolina, started a church. I've got so much respect for him. He cashed in every life policy, everything he had, put everything in it, and went to work and started a church. And there's a fundamental independent Bible-believing church right there right now because of my dad several years ago. It was not easy. And I'm going to tell you what, it was not logical. And it was not comfortable. It wasn't comfortable. There was no nest egg. There was nothing. Everything he had was gone, put into that church. And a 55-year-old man went out knocking on doors, telling people about Jesus and began to build a church. We first met in a bank building called the Bailey Banks and Biddle Bank Building, Clemson, South Carolina. Then we moved to a funeral home. That's a great place to start a church. You've always got somebody there. It's cool. You got flowers, everything. It's a pretty good place. But my day, it wasn't logical. Now, the three rules of faith. Number one, faith is not logical. Number two, faith is not comfortable. This is one I love the most. Faith, number three, is not negotiable. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible. Did you hear what I said? It's impossible to please Him. Oh, I want to live right, live for God. And you should. But the way that you're going to get God's attention is what you do with faith. The Bible says anything that's not of faith is sin. Faith is not negotiable. I mean, it's just, you can't get past it. My dad got cancer, and he had some huge tumors that came up in his throat, in his chest, in his stomach. And my church loved him. He worked for me on staff. I have no idea what he did. But he was there every Wednesday when we passed out paychecks. He was there. But my daddy, oh, I loved him. We were the best of friends. He was a great man of God. Loved me. I loved him. My dad worked on my staff. One night on Wednesday night, my daddy got up and he started singing. He said, somebody touch me, somebody. And our church, because my daddy was completely healed of cancer. He's 82 years old then, and he was completely healed. I sat on the front row, and that night our choir that doesn't normally practice on Wednesday night, we had a special day coming up. They were in the choir loft practicing. I was sitting in the front row after church with my dad. I said, Dad, God's healed you. He said, yes, you have, son. Well, some time went by, and the cancer came back. When the cancer comes back the second time, it's usually very aggressive. So it got him again. And I said, Daddy, are you afraid? Now we're sitting on the second row, on the first row. That night, time has passed. He's got cancer for the second time. I said, Daddy, are you afraid? He said, oh, no, son. He said, I'm telling you what. He said, I'm about to see the one that I've talked to for 70 years. He said, I'm about to see the one face to face that I've prayed to, that I've cried over, that I've told people about. He said, my faith is about to become sight. And when he was healed, he was a little bit discouraged. But I'm telling you what, I could stand at his funeral and say, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. But here's a man that pleased God with faith. I wonder what you will do. There's nobody in here that doesn't want to please God. I mean, the God that created this earth and this world that can do anything, how in the world would you not have faith? Because you can please him. I think I've told this story before, but it's so appropriate I need to tell it again. And it's not in my notes. I just thought about it. My daughter was working in a small Christian school in Alabama. My daughter and my son-in-law, they were trying to make ends meet. They were just married. They're living on love, you know. They're trying to get everything done, paid for. Then down the road, they had a little girl. And so they've got a little girl now. They've been married for a couple of years, and they've got a little girl now. And my daughter said, we got to the point. He said, she'd gone through all the nursing stages and all that, and now she's drinking some of that canned milk or whatever. And, you know, you buy that little Gerber baby food in a jar, and it comes out just like it went in. Same thing. So my daughter got ready to feed my grandbaby, and she didn't have the money. She said, my husband and I, we went through the seats and our cushions, and we went through the car everywhere. And she said, I finally got enough change. I didn't quite have enough, but I had to feed my baby. She said, I went to the grocery store. She's telling me this. I got tears coming out. I said, sweetheart, why didn't you call me? She said, Dad, you were 3.5 hours away. It wouldn't have mattered. I said, well, I'd done something. I'd called somebody or something. And she said, don't ever do that again. You make sure I know about it. So she said, well, Dad, hold on. I got to tell you a story. So she said, I walked in and she said, I stood there and I got me a couple of the cans of that milk, Enfamil, or whatever. I don't know what it was. She said, my little baby had to have something to eat. She said, I walked in the line and there in front of me was a lady that had a grocery cart that was filled to the brim. On the bottom, on the top, in the bug, everything, you couldn't put anything else in it. She said, I looked at that and she said, my chin was quivering looking at that. She said, and I'm standing there holding a little bit of change in my hand. She said, then the most horrifying thing that ever happened to me happened right then. I said, what? She said, the lady said, young lady, is that all you've got? Why don't you go ahead of me? And she said, I walked in front of that lady and I was standing there praying and my chin quivering and now I'm squalling. She said, I couldn't help it. And we're sitting there talking and she's telling me all this and I said, well, what happened? She said, just before they got through with the man in front of me, I put my stuff up on the tabletop, begging God to do something. When the lady said, ma'am, is that all you have? She said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, I've got some coupons here that help with that. Let me help it. And she gave her two coupons that paid it almost down to the penny what she needed. She said, now, Dad, I've got more confidence in God right now than I've ever had. I would have ruined it. Been in there and stepping in and rescuing her. She learned something from God. Now, they can give. They can pray. They can do all kind of things. Why? Because faith is not logical. It's not comfortable. And it's not negotiable. God wants you to do something great. What will you do? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask you tonight just a simple question. Now, remember, I don't know you. You really don't know me. But let me ask you this. How many people in here say, preacher, I'm not ashamed of it. I am a Christian. I might not be the best Christian. I'm saved. I'm born again. I know I'm going to heaven. Would you slip your hand up? Not be ashamed of it. Thank you so much. I never get tired of that. Preaching my own church, the people I know, I never get tired of seeing that. I love it. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that can say, preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not positive. There could be a doubt. There could be a question. Would you pray for me? Would you pray with me? Is there somebody that slipped their hand up? Say, preacher, that's me. I see a little hand. Is there somebody else? Now, let me ask you this. How many could say, preacher, if faith is how we please God, I need more faith. Pray with me. Pray for me. Pray that God would do something great in my life. Would you slip your hand up? What a thought. I'm going to ask the pianist to play softly. Lord, we love you. We thank you and praise you. I pray you'll bless us, help us tonight. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many would just come to the altar and say, Lord, help me? Lord, see, even the Bible, the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, we want to please you. Would you come find you a place? Let's just tell God about it. Lord, help my faith. Help my unbelief. Oh, what God could do if we had a room full of people that could trust God and believe God. I'm going to tell you this. I believe with all my heart, the greatest days of Grace Baptist Church are still in the future. I really believe that. When you walk in the building, the Spirit of God is evident here. I praise the Lord for that. Folks, faith is the answer. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You've got to believe that he's God. He can do anything. God's in control.